You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here, God, ugh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed
up.
Isn't there anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips. But are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy, a watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
Hello, hello, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, BC. The show is A Face for Radio. I am your host, Eric Coates, and today I'm joined by two lovely guests. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
My name is Misha, former student here at UBC, and I do eco-philosophy meetup.
Great.
Hello, my name is Lila. I am a yoga instructor, also here at UBC, and I am the owner of Rooftop Yoga.
All right, and that is actually how I came to know both of you, is because I started doing Lila's 50-50 yoga Pilates class, Yoga Lattes, at the UBC Rec Center last year. It sort of started off like I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it, but I thought the name was funny, and I'd done yoga and Pilates before, so I was like, I guess might as well try it, but then I actually liked it a lot.
Awesome.
And me and my friend did it. So we're going to play a song here before we get talking to both of them, to Misha and Lila, about yoga, eco-philosophy, whatever we end up chatting about. But first I have a song that I'd like to play called Mamata, or Affection, by Ananda Shankar, who is either, I think he's Ravi Shankar's nephew or son, I'm not 100% sure, but this song came out in 1970, and it's a very nice song, very pretty song that I think will, you know, get us started on the right foot.
All right.
Nice.
Thank you.
That was Mamata by Ananda Shankar, and we're back with A Face for Radio here on CITR 101.9. I'm Eric, and I'm joined again by Misha and Lila. Lila from Rooftop Yoga. Would you like to tell the listeners at home what that is, where it is?
Right. Rooftop Yoga is a studio downtown. It's a donation-based studio. It's in an old building, so we don't really advertise it because it's in a residential building. So it's kind of grows by word of mouth. So people come in, they tell their friends and so on. The studio has been around for about 4 years.
Okay.
It's a really nice community. It's actually, this is the year that kind of took off and like a baby just spread its wings and kind of flew. So the classes get pretty busy. There's only limited spots. People reserve in advance. Two classes a week. Monday night is yin yoga, which is a gentler type of yoga, focusing mostly on stretching. There's Wednesday nights, vinyasa, which is also another name for flow yoga or hatha yoga. Vinyasa could be quite varied. You can pretty much do anything you want with vinyasa.
Okay.
You can do some Pilates in there, which I do.
Yeah.
You can make it a fusion class. It just gives the instructor a lot of freedom to play around with the poses.
Okay.
So these two classes are currently running right now at Rooftop Yoga, 8:30 in the evening. So Monday night, yin, and Wednesday night, vinyasa. If you do want to join, it's best to text or email me, and you can find all my information on my website, which is www.rooftopyoga.ca, and just reserve a spot. Plus one, plus two is always good. I hold the spots. If you think that you're not going to make it, it's best to let me know, and then I can free up the spots.
Okay.
People right now are reserving sometimes even a week in advance. Classes
really?
Get booked up a week in advance.
That's great.
But there's not that many spots. There's only about 13.
So okay.
It's easy to fill it up.
What about, it's a very beautiful space.
Yeah. You've been up there.
I have been up there.
Yeah.
It's the top of a building downtown, and there's windows everywhere.
Right.
And it's very, I like the decorations. It provides a nice atmosphere.
Yeah, and there's a lot of plants.
Yeah.
I add up slowly as the years go by. I'm like, oh, this would look nice up there. I do get the odd email. It's raining today. Are we still going to have class? Because they think it's on the rooftop.
And oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
No, it's indoors. But it is wraparound windows. So we get 360-degree view of the whole city. And we're right smack in the middle of downtown, right next to St. Paul's Hospital. So
yeah.
You have all the city lights around you.
It's beautiful.
The studio changes with the seasons. And so in the winter, you come in, it's dark out because the class is already 8:30 and there's candles everywhere. But as the warmer season comes around, it gets a little bit warmer and lighter. So in the middle of summer, you come in with the sun shining and you end the last pose with a pink lighting at sunset. So it's
that sounds very nice.
Yeah, it is very different. People come in the summer and then they come again in the winter. And it's a completely different atmosphere. For sure.
And how did you get started in becoming a yoga instructor? How did you end up here at UBC teaching the 50-50 Yoga Pilates Yoga Lattes class Tuesday and Thursday at 11 to 12 last year?
Okay, it's true. How did I start teaching yoga? I am originally a dentist from Romania. And in order to get certified in Canada, I had to go and do a whole bunch of exams. And the exams are costly and they take time, but I had to pay for the exam and make a living. So I was taking some yoga classes, but by no means I was a yogi. I went to a yoga class once and I said, you know, this is nice. My friend was a yoga teacher. You know, she only works two classes a day and then she has all the free time to do whatever. I said that might work with my schedule of studying. So to make a long story short, I signed up for teacher training and I did 1 month intensive, 200 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And you can break it down. Some studios offer it once a month or on the weekends. But I did it 6 days a week. Just I wanted to be done 200 hours. So 6 days, 8 to 4 every day. Lots of yoga, a lot of meditation.
How was that? Just the intensive.
It was very intense. And mind you, I was beginner yoga. I wasn't advanced at all in my own personal practice. So it was for me the most important month of my life. I tell people this all the time. It was very significant. You put in a lot of me time and you kind of peel the layers off yourself with meditation. You start to look at yourself. One little video I have on my website talks about buttons, and that's what I learned, to let go of my buttons and to just be, so nobody has the opportunity to push your buttons. And it's still hard. I still have some buttons, but I'm trying. And I started teaching. Actually, how I came to UBC, while I was doing teacher training, I was looking on Craigslist for jobs at UBC, as a yoga instructor. And I found a job posting for UBC, but I wasn't done with my training and I still had to get my certification. So I kept that in mind and I always thought, you know, that's really good. I have to study. It's a great place to teach. So when I was done, months later, I walked to UBC with a resume. I don't even know if that job was available anymore. I was like, this is what I'm doing. So I went to the UBC rec and met up with Dave Gillis, who was my boss. He's currently not working right now. Wonderful man. And I said, hello, I'd like a job. And he looked at me, he's like, okay. So I kind of gave myself the job, which was wonderful. And for 5 years, I taught there. From 2010, best job ever, really, teaching the students every semester a whole new batch. And sometimes the students would just stay on for 5 years. I've had students at every semester that would sign up. It's the best job and the best place to teach, really. People come here, UBC, needing yoga, not because it's a fad, but because it's an opportunity for them to de-stress or stretch the body. And for the really what yoga is meant to give you, the benefits of it, that's what they're seeking. And that's what I love so much about it. Over the years, I had offers to teach at various studios, and I always denied because I really enjoy teaching at UBC.
Yeah, well, it was very nice because, I mean, I used to play a lot of soccer in high school, and then I started university and I stopped playing anything and just started sitting a lot, and then I didn't really do
it. Yeah.
Basically, I mean, this past term was the only exercise that I was getting.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting how that all came about. So yeah. You talked about it a little bit, but the growth of rooftop yoga been from the beginning until now, that it's a space that has been used for other things that we're going to be talking about in a little bit. So how did the growth happen? Was it natural?
No, it was very slow. The space is really lovely, but it did need a little bit of fixing up. So my fiance and I worked pretty hard to put electricity in and kind of clean it up a bit. And then I was ready to teach. But, you know, I mean, you have the space, you have the teacher, but then you need a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
So I would, like, make tea, light up the candles, and just wait. And Monday night comes, nobody would come. I blow out the candles. Okay, maybe on Wednesday somebody won't come. I would advertise mildly on Facebook.
Yeah.
Needless to say, 2 years, nobody came.
Really?
Yeah, nobody came. Maybe it was me.
Perseverance.
Maybe it was, you know, I mean, there's the business aspect of it. It's hard. And then slowly, I would teach like one-on-one or two students. And then the third year, 2-3 students. Fourth year, 4-5 students. And now it's finally kind of, I don't have to tell people, hey, come to my studio. It's really nice.
Yeah.
They just come, which is great. And the word is spreading so much that people from outside of the country, from Amsterdam and Germany, they hear about it. They put it on their list. You come to Vancouver, you must go to rooftop yoga.
Because wow, that's pretty cool.
It's a really nice view. You get an opportunity to practice yoga with the elements in the rain, which is what we're famous for. So you're up there practicing and the rain is falling on the roof and you can hear it. And
And it's also a really nice building. Actually, my friend's dad is the manager of the building. Yeah, so
my friend,
fun fact, in grade 11, so 6 or 7 years ago, we'd had a Halloween party in that building, and that's the only other time I've been in that building besides when I went to rooftop yoga.
Oh my God, I know somebody else who went to the Halloween party.
Really?
Another yogi came to me and said, oh, I've been in this room before. It was for a Halloween party. You were probably with them.
Yeah, that's funny.
And it's funny, too, because the building looks like the Ghostbusters building.
Yeah.
So it's a great place for a Halloween party.
It was good.
Yeah.
So on Tuesday, and I think we'll just introduce this and then play some songs before we go further into it. On Tuesday, what happened at the space of rooftop yoga?
Something amazing happened.
it was our first eco-philosophy meetup, and it went really well, really well.
So just briefly, what is a meetup, and what is the eco-philosophy meetup in particular?
So the eco-philosophy meetup is just where people that are interested in environmental philosophy have an opportunity to get together and to discuss their views, discuss everything from trying to be a minimalist in the wake of high housing costs in Vancouver, if that even makes sense. I mean, how do you even do that? From those more practical issues to the actual nuts and bolts of the philosophy itself that underpins the movement.
Great. So we will get in to the nuts and bolts of the eco-philosophy meetup and talk a bit about eco-philosophy itself in a little bit. But first, we're going to play some music. And this first song is called Won't Forget Why by John Varley, who is based in Victoria at the moment. And this album was released on a record label from Montreal. It's a cassette that is out now. Came out December 14th. And it's called The Missing Kink. Enjoy.
Thank you. pretty girls and guys are here. But when I look at myself on my right, I'm wondering if I'm really here. When I talk to you, I wonder if I could ever really learn. The way you talk to you seemed more likely that I'd only ever burn my fingers. The chair is hot, to the touch it lingers. The light is hot, just like the singers of our favorite bands. So I sat against the wall and leaned hard as I could into it. And I thought about the mall and some places that I'd like to pitch. Then I thought about my Jesus and meditation again. The things I have I don't need, and the things I want, what's good in them. But it's easy to understand what it is that makes me feel this way. It's not so easy to make all of my problems go away. Then again, what else is there? Another life, some other way. I really don't know what you mean. Really trying to find and he knew about my job situation. I didn't have to explain it to him. Took everything I said as insinuation. Then he looked into my eyes and said something about you're playing a game. That's when I looked a little past him, pointlessly repeating what I'd said again. But it's easy to understand what it is that makes me feel this way. It's not so easy to make all of my problems go away. Then again, what else is there? Another life, some other way. Really don't know what you mean. Really trying to find that way.
Coming back, something I
This is A Face for Radio here on CITR 101.9, and I have to apologize for some misleading information. I said we were going to play John Varley, Won't Forget Why, first, but we had some tech issues, and that was the song that you just heard. The first song that we played is called Mixer by Halifax band Napeyes, and their album Thought Rockfish Scale, which is coming out in early February. The song is called Mixer that we played. It's the Napeyes is being backed by another Halifax band called Monomyth that is signed to a Vancouver record label, Mint Records. And the Monomyth played here just about a month ago for the Christmas party. So that's something to be excited about. And another thing to be excited about is the Eco-Philosophy Meetup. That happened on Tuesday, and Misha, can you explain how it started? Why you started it?
Yeah, once I became more ecologically aware, I wanted to find a group of like-minded individuals that I could just hang out with, become friends with, a community of people who shared an appreciation for the environment, and I just couldn't find anything like that in Vancouver. I looked up on meetups, and there's teams of people that go out and plant trees. So that was the closest thing I found. But I wanted to engage in dialogue about the philosophical side of environmentalism, because there's a rich tradition to discuss there. And I did want it to be kind of a place where people can come together, bond, discuss, you know, their own issues, their own struggles, and the philosophy as well. And yeah, by and large, what's out there is like Greenpeace and all these NGOs that essentially want your money. And they do a great job, and they do all kinds of wonderful things, but they don't provide a forum for environmentally concerned people to get together and hang out. And that's really what I wanted. And have some intellectual discussions as well, as like a bonus. You know what I mean? And that that bonus really does kind of provide the framework for the meetups. Obviously, the social relationships you make from hanging out with a group of like-minded people is that's probably of at least as great value.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also, I wanted this group to be really about making a difference, self-improvement, and improving the world while you're at it.
Sure.
Because it is obviously environmentally based, so it has that implication, or I definitely think it should. I studied philosophy here at UBC, and philosophy here is taught as a discursive scholastic activity. The focus is not self-improvement. It's not improve the world. It's do these readings, understand it, come back with creative arguments, and that's what it's about. And there's actually empirical research to show that this is not only how it's taught, but that it doesn't really make a difference, at least here in academia. They've looked at ethics professors, and they've compared their behavior with the general population. And in terms of their moral behavior, it's indistinguishable. There's no variation. Yeah. They've taken stats on this, and how disenchanting is that? And this is particularly disenchanting because they ask these moral philosophers and the general population key questions about morality. And the moral philosophers, the ethics professors, did feel differently than the general population. They had higher ethical standards when it came to animal rights, a whole bunch of different things. But you know, that difference in ethical standards that they taught for a living didn't actually influence their behavior. So it's clearly just like this game that you play. You know, you show up at 9, you leave at 5 with your briefcase, and then all that all the conclusions that you come to in the classroom, right, are left behind when you actually, you know, go shopping, choose to live, you know.
Yeah, it's just a job.
It's just a job. And that's not how philosophy should be, in my opinion. That's just so sad.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling so horribly disenchanted when I took philosophy here, right? Because that's how it was taught. That's the framework. The people that you looked up to, your professors, they were incredibly the dominant cultural norms, you know, they didn't oppose in terms of their behavior, right?
Yeah.
They'd teach you about alternatives in the classroom, you know, and they critique dominant norms. But I didn't see a lot of that critique translate down into different behavior. And again, the research shows that, at least the research on ethics professors and their view shows that, yeah, it doesn't make a difference to these people. And then these are the people that you look up to as a student. And so you're just kind of thinking, oh, well, this philosophy is just like this head game,
yeah. You
know? And that was kind of one of the messages I left academia with.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. It's so unfortunate, right? Because it was not how it was initially taught, like in ancient Greece when philosophy was born. It was all about self-improvement, you know, improving the world through critical analysis. And then that critical analysis should change behavior.
Yeah.
You know, it was always the goal, right? It wasn't supposed to be just like this discursive echo chamber of the mind, and then that's where it's left.
Yeah, so with that in mind, this disenchantment and not being able to find anywhere that provided a sort of format or venue to have discussions with like-minded people, you decided to team up with Lila and use Rooftop Yoga as a place to host the first eco-philosophy meetup, which happened on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And how was that?
It was just so good to get together with people who shared a real concern for the ecosystem. And we had lots of really interesting discussions. And it was people from all walks of life as well.
Yeah.
So obviously when I took philosophy here, it was people were a lot more interested. I mean, this just makes sense given the context, in the abstract aspects of the philosophy, whereas what I found with this meetup was that everyone was just trying to relate it more to their own personal experience. You know, it immediately was the question was like, how is this relevant? How is this going to change my behavior? What are the implications of this to my behavior? And that was just and it was interesting because I never put that up as like, you know, something that should be the consequence of this discussion.
Yeah.
Right? For it to resonate emotionally, we need to, you know, discuss the impacts of this on our behavior constantly. But it just kind of that, I think because it was outside of academia, people are more practical outside of academia, right? So those kind of, that aspect of the discussion really was excavated in far more depth than I had thought. And it was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, and I mean, I just met all kinds of other people from my community that are really interested in the same things as me that I wasn't connecting to before.
Yeah. It sounds in part that the whole idea is to sort of build community as well and foster sort of critical thinking and collective discussion about, not only the philosophy, but also, you know, a serious issue that affects all of us, which is, you know, the state of the environment and our role in determining, you know, what that state is and will be, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the topic was deep ecology.
Deep ecology.
Do you want to explain that to the folks who don't know what that is?
Yeah. Deep ecologists begin with the premise, very contentious premise, because this is not mainstream environmentalism, the premise that all life is intrinsically valuable. So that's different from mainstream environmentalism, which regards non-human life as only valuable insofar as it serves human ends.
Yeah.
Right? Like you like trees because they give you lumber and you think they're beautiful. That's where their value comes from. The value of a tree doesn't come from just its own existence.
Yeah.
You know, the value comes from, we can use this. Humans can use this, you know? And deep ecologists are like, okay, well, that's the problem. That's what got us into this mess. That's why the biosphere is in free fall right now. We're in the middle of a mass species extinction event, is because people think of, you know, the biosphere as just something that gets its value solely from human use.
Yeah.
And until that changes, we're not going to see an end to ecocide. It's going to get worse and worse. So the deep ecologists argue.
Yeah.
And then once you assert that premise, right, that all life has intrinsic value, deep ecologists believe that there's three implications of this in terms of your behavior.
Okay.
Number one, you're going to want to conserve nature.
Yeah.
Number two, we need to regulate our population.
Okay.
Because at this stage of the game, with 7.2 billion consumers tearing the ecosystem to shreds, we're overpopulated, right? And if more humans means less habitat for free living organisms to enjoy.
Okay.
Right? And that means, well, they can't live. Right? So more humans means less for other organisms at this point.
Sure.
And so, yeah, they take population control seriously. Now, how that is going to manifest, how you're going to regulate population, that's a contentious issue, and every deep ecologist has their own ideas about that. A lot of people are just like birth control. There's some extreme militant, just like any movement, it has its outliers, right?
Yeah.
That even advocate nuclear violence, right? Which is just crazy, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like every philosophy has its violent radicals, or at least any philosophy with political implications typically does, right?
Yeah.
But like 99% of deep ecologists are like, okay, no.
Yeah.
We need to do this in a peaceful way, right? We need to just educate people on what's going on
keep
the nukes at home, right? I mean, what that would do to the ecosystem as well is just horrible. So anyways, it's clearly an outlier position. Regulate population, and last but not least, live simply so that other organisms can simply live.
Yeah.
So a minimalist lifestyle.
Okay.
Yeah.
And local.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of deep ecologists who do believe in localism as well,
localism.
Which is actually our topic for the next the next meetup.
Okay. And when's the next meetup going to be?
We don't have a date. You go ahead.
Looking at my schedule, it's either at the end of January, so it's always on a Tuesday.
Okay.
Either January the 26th or February 2nd. This all depends on Misha's schedule,
mm-hmm.
if he is going to be around or not. But all the details are posted on my Rooftop Yoga page on Facebook.
Yeah.
So you can get all that information there.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. I remember the first time I read about deep ecology, one of the things that I saw was a quote that says, "Think like a mountain" by Arne Naess, which I think is the idea of thinking beyond, even when you think you're thinking long term, it's short term in terms of the ecosystem or whatever. So sort of just to think of your actions and a lifestyle, I guess, and the impacts that have over the actual long run.
Yeah, these like geological timescales, right?
Sure,
as opposed to our own little blips of a life. Yeah. The expansive definition of self, you say like think like a mountain, right?
Yeah.
So how deep ecologists get to this, their first premise, which is that all life is intrinsically valuable, is they really take seriously the playbooks of Taoism, Buddhism, panpsychism, pantheism, which is just this idea that, well, the self is everything.
Right? Yeah,
there is no individual self. It's not you as an individual are not encompassed by your skin sack, right? That's not what who you are deep down. Who you are deep down is, you know, the fabric and structure and content of space-time itself, right? And so this is again an idea that has a long both religious and philosophical tradition. And if you believe that, you know, the earth is who you are, then of course you're going to regard all organisms in it as intrinsically valuable because you regard yourself as intrinsically valuable.
Yeah.
So then that's how they align self-interest with the interest of the planet and really how their justification for all things having intrinsic value.
It's basically a yoga, a union.
Yeah.
Yoga means to yoke, to unite. Mm. So, yeah, it's the same concept.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful concept. And I studied the philosophy of the self here at UBC. And I was really sympathetic to Buddhist ideas of the self, this relational self as opposed to this individual skin sack self. And it just, yeah, it has a lot of appeal scientifically as well, especially in the science of ecology where everything is interactions.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea of an individual organism, it's arbitrary. We're just nodes in this incredibly complex nutrient cycling process. And that's not only echoed in science, but it's echoed in, 3,000-year-old Buddhist philosophy.
All right. Well,
or Taoist philosophy.
On that note, that's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I guess the pragmatic thing to take away here is to check out the Rooftop Yoga page on Facebook to see when the next meetup is happening.
Right.
And stay tuned and hopefully, you know, think about these things if you listen and are hearing about it for the first time. And I think we have just about enough time for me to play a couple more songs and then we can end the show, say goodbye.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. the first song, first I have to play Content Warning. Because this next song from a Vancouver rapper called Tommy Genesis has a little bit of profanity.
Ooh.
So I warn you ahead of time.
Plug your ears, Lila.
Turn down the volume for the next 2 minutes if you're not into it. All right. And then we have one more song. We'll be back to say goodbye.
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
I'm jaded while I'm blowing and a homie can see I'm in a dark room. I said we're sending off the airstrip. Planes landed on an air blimp. Shit falling in vain. Fuck up your shit to come up like paradise lost. You see them palm trees glitter in that paradise frost. Fuck up your shit like the Old Testament. Testament to your faith that you keep me in bed. Sloppy voodoo with my eyes. There'd be nothing to special. But my brain fuse a pupil to the thought of the devil. SOS if you think SOS translate to you scared. SOS stand for sus and sus suspended in air. I'ma cut you in your flight. You
a razor through clouds. A white light angel in a heavyweight realm. I fuck up your shit like Drake on Zanny. You were seven, now you write about your thoughts on Zanny. I'ma steep you in the water, watch a grown man squirm. In my fault, you crossed over to the spirited world. We walkie-talkie through the valley of the shadow of death. You gon' shadow me every move I make, you make it next. Confuse up your ex, judges on the Genesis, Exodus come next, Ezra, Nehemiah, homie Isaiah, Habakkuk, Habitat, cookin' rock soup, don't let the rookie be shook, lurk the dirt on the apostles, good Samaritans, coming down from the pubble with the gems in the bins, daddy call me Young Graham, cause my body a ghost, I'm looking like a female, covered in Jacob's coats, Nike socks, split open on Moses rocks, they call me Amalekai, Dubai messenger, the scribe, they call me Young Thugs, crown pass heritage down, Bobby Whitney, Matthew, Luke, and Mark. I'ma tell you where you at it, get a lukewarm duck. We gon' shoot a weak bitch with the weakest shot. She gon' fall from the heavens into witch's pot. And then we gon' say, amen.
I adore life. I adore life.
Nothing, really. Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
One, two, three, four.
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved.
And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about. See you then.
Well, how do you like it?
There's only one word for it. Terrific.
Join us every Saturday from 8 till noon for Saturday's Edge with your host, Steve Edge, as he guides you on a journey to world and roots music, with African, Latin, and European music in the first half, followed by Celtic, blues, songwriters, and Cajun in the second half.
All right, we're back with just enough time to say a quick goodbye and a big thank you to Lila and Misha, who came on the show today on CITR here, Face for Radio. It's been a pleasure. I think we had a good chat. And I had a good time.
Thank you so much, Eric, for having us.
Yeah, it's been an honor.
Thank you. It's been an honor as well. Do you guys have any last words?
So February 2nd, we just decided.
Yeah,
we're going to make a firm date, right? So February 2nd at
rooftopyoga.ca. It'll link you to the Facebook page. If you don't have a Facebook or social media, you can just email me or text me.
At 7:30 p.m.
7:30 February 2nd.
You got it.
Yeah.
All right. Keep your eyes open, your ears open, and hopefully we'll see you all there. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Up next, we have Transition State and more great music here on CITR 101.9 FM. Talk to you again next week.